Hello and welcome to the Hellas Football Podcast. I'm your host, Stephen, and this is a very special episode of the podcast that I didn't plan on doing until, well, for obvious reasons last night. But here we are, European special, as it were. And joining me is Elaine. How are you, mate?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm all good after last night. What a damn night weather.
I know, man. I'm still, well, I woke up this morning and I just couldn't go back to sleep. I was just so hyped on adrenaline after what happened last night for Olympiacos, and I appreciate,
Same for me with Pauk. I think probably in Pauk European history, in recent Pauk history, that's definitely the greatest moment we ever had.
Well, look, it was the early kickoff, so we'll just jump straight into it. So Balk had 2-0 loss in the first leg against Dynamo Zagreb. You need
Yeah.
so it wasn't as potential, maybe as difficult as the one Olympiacos had after the first leg, but it was still difficult considering Dynamo Zagreb loads of European experience. But you guys came back 5-1 in the end. So Baba Rahman opened the scoring. They actually scored an own goal to double your guys' lead, and it was 3-0 by half time with Brandon's goal third in the 42nd minute. They pulled one back at the start of the second half in the 49th minute, but then Bouyaragi scored in the 72nd minute, and then Zivkovic with the late penalty to put the tie out of sight. Elaine, as I am, you are must be overjoyed with this because it's a huge comeback win for Balkan, and it's the second time for you guys in what is it, 3 4 years that you've reached the quarterfinal stage of the Conference League?
Yep. Well, I must say the last season was really tough, and somehow we struggled. Players were physically down, and so some things were wrong in the team, and not everything is fixed. But with what I saw last night, I was like, oh my God, what am I watching? For real, a couple of days ago, my friend from French Greek football mentioned it. He said, "Is it Puck or Barca that is playing?" And because recently I've watched again. The old Barca with Cruyff as manager, and you remember the
When they came
terrible
back against
trio,
PSG.
yeah, and
Yes.
the terrible trio with Romario, Stoichkov, and
Oh,
Lovren.
that far back. I thought you were talking about Barcelona came back for like
No,
from
no, no.
in the more recently when they came
No,
back against
I was
PSG.
talking about the style of play, and
Ah.
that's exactly what I saw yesterday. I swear that there was this, and I don't know what Lucescu did, but there was purely magic.
So I mean, just to say, any players particularly that stuck out for you on the night? Because I'm sure Dumba as well was rocking for that game. So any particular players that really stood out for you as the kind of game changers in this time? And how was it you managed to kind of get past Dynamo Zagreb? Because they had a fair, the stats are pretty not even, but they had their own chances that they created, and they had actually had more passes than you overall in the game. So
Yeah.
how? Yeah.
And well, I think for me the game changer was precisely the two big misses on the early game. You remember with the Kudelski header and Zivkovic who missed the open goal, and I said no, fuck, no, that can happen. And when I saw after the first goal from Baba with Koulier assist, I said, "Okay, it's done. It's in the pocket."
Because I remember we spoke about Zivkovic because he's a player that had a really, really good start to the season, but he's kind of tailed away in recent times. You highlighted that it was due to him maybe playing a ton of games and Lucescu not resting him. Was that the case today as well? Were there flashes of that, and then he later improved in the second half?
And I think Katsiora made a big mistake, but overall, when you look at the stats, we definitely crush literally crush them.
Yes, a very
Because
comprehensive win there.
the possession was 50-50 at the end, but we had 18 shots, 6 shots on target, and even with the how to say, even with the 6 shots on target, we have according to Wyscoot, we have 3 big chances that we missed. So that's correct. And after the game was over, I thought we could have won by like even 6 or 7 goals.
And it just shows, I guess, despite the fact you missed those chances, and in other maybe in another circumstance, that would be the difference between you guys going through and not going through. It didn't matter in the end because, like you said, it could have been a lot more, and maybe that isn't entirely reflective on how many shots on target you had, but despite that, you still did enough to make it.
Precisely, and that's what the point we talked off air about it. I think against a team like Bruges, you will still have a chance and situations because they rather play open football, but. Against Fiorentina, missing that kind of opportunities will be lethal.
And just to kind of wrap up on Balk, I said to you in the chat, it's hilarious that the Dynamo Zagreb owner, or I think it was the chairman, he came out and said if Zagreb reached the final, they won't have it in Greece. So big-headed of him. And then, of course, his team gets knocked out by Balk. It's just typical. He jinxed his own team there.
What a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, honestly, man, honestly. But yeah, good, amazing night for Balk to begin with. And having seen that, I went then went into the Olympiacos game thinking, oh, well, if Balk can do it, maybe we can. Because all week going to Olympiacos now, 6-1 over Maccabi Tel Aviv. Oh man, Elaine, I'm still overjoyed. I mean, I'll be overjoyed for a few weeks now. Just what a way to.
I feel you. I feel you.
Like, what a way to come back, because we were given, apparently statistically, we were given a 2% chance to progress to the quarterfinals after losing 4-1. And the first leg was a horrendous performance. You know, everything that could have gone wrong went wrong. Defensively, we were poor. Tactically, we didn't make the right choices with substitutions or kind of game in general game management. And this was like night and day. This is one of the best performances I've ever seen from Olympiacos as a supporter. From the moment we started, you could tell we were focused, and then immediately Daniel Podence gets the first goal. He does really, really well to get it as well. Works really hard. Then Gostasvor Djounis doubled it on the night in the 36th minute, and then just before half time, El Kabi scores the goal that brings us level in the tie overall. So we go into half time level, amazing. We start to believe because we think, wow, we've come back. And the first half was a flawless performance, more or less. And it was surprising because Maccabi Tel Aviv, they were rubbish. Like, not to. They, it's in the sense that we didn't allow them to do anything. Whereas in the first game, we just allowed them too much to kind of abuse our fullbacks and create those chances that made us kind of make those mistakes in the box. None of that for the first half. And then second half, they got a penalty. Retsos, poor challenge, poor foul, penalty, not great. They went ahead in the tie again because Zahavi scored. Zahavi loves to score against us. But then instant reply, more or less, from El Kabi. And if you haven't seen Ayoub, I'm not talking to you, Ellen, but in if anyone listening has not seen El Kabi's goal, oh, it's beautiful. Overhead kick from across into the goal. Oh my goodness. I just leapt up. I was playing. I just absolutely lost it. And then we made some really we so we level the tie again, go into extra time. Mendilibar really tactically was superb again in this game. 4-4-2 he switched to, brought on Jovetic, brought on El Arabi, and both score. Jovetic to put us ahead in the time, then El Arabi in the 103rd minute to pr pretty much kill the tie. They were dead on their legs, Maccabi Tel Aviv, and we saw it out. And it what a turnaround, man. Honestly, I could wax lyrical.
Yeah, and you know, people know how much I love Olympiaco, but I have to admit, yesterday it was like honestly, it was like see Podence and Fortuny. It was like seeing Overmars and Ariel Ortega playing together. For
And
real,
it was
for
so
real.
fluid. And
They literally destroyed everything on their own.
yeah, absolutely. And it's a performance we needed because obviously the first leg was poor. Then we lost to Panathinaikos and Gardai Skagit. So that two bad results. Mendilibar gives them a massive kick up the arse. And full credit to him as well. There's a reason why he was given the. Well, I know it's not official yet, as in signed in writing, but they have verbally agreed for him to stay next season, and that's massive for the club. And just by this result alone, I like to think slash hope he's the man that can improve us further next season, regardless of what happens now in Europe and in the league. And we just looked unbelievable. And you know, there was talk of 3-4-3 coming back, five at the back. He kept it pretty much how he normally would, with his preferred starting 11, barring Baskalakis, who had some discomfort. So Zolakis came in instead, and he had an excellent performance too. Obviously, the penalty wasn't his fault, but he was superb on the night. He's going to be an incredible keeper when he's older, and I hope that we tie him down on a new contract. But yeah, the whole team put a massive shift in, and I think there's a few factors that really helped. One of them being, obviously, because the league has been cancelled for or rescheduled for this weekend, because obviously the international break's coming up and the Ethniki have been given extra time to play. There was no weekend game to worry about with AEK at Hagia Sophia, so we had the momentum to just go out there. No matter what, that's it until the international break. If they play 120 minutes, that's it. We can just go, like, you exert all of our energy on this game, and it looked as though that's what we did. And yeah,
Yeah.
honestly, Elaine, like I can't stop saying how overjoyed I am, because it's
Oh
just such
yes,
a
me too.
it's yeah. I mean, both of us, and this is what's good for Greek football, because as you highlighted in the chat, a
Yeah.
lot of the leagues in front of us don't have any teams remaining. I think until you reach the, I think inside the top 10, I think maybe it might actually be Turkey.
Yeah, and as I mentioned too, either even if it's just one team makes it to semi-final to semi-finals, we reached sorry we will reach the 14th place and potentially the 13th.
And that's massive as well, because
Yeah.
we all fully thought, okay, if we can try and get 15th this season, that'd be great. But if the fact that we could potentially go higher if one Greek team reaches the semi-finals, that could be amazing, because we haven't seen yet.
Remember from I as I always say, remember where we come from.
Exactly.
We were at the 20th position when the season started.
And also, it's nice to for again, I'm talking mainly as an Olympiakos fan, but it's nice that we finally get a run in Europe, because I always see teams that surpass us or surpass other people who are having their run, and it's like their time. And I always thought, when's our time? When's our time to finally get that opportunity to kind of progress? Because this is also Olympiakos's first quarterfinal place since the Champions League quarterfinals in 98-99. All that being said, there was no round of 16 back then, so you would progress from the group stages straight to the quarterfinals. So this, and you, so it's the amount of more games you have to play now just to reach a quarterfinal for Greek clubs, as we have to go through the qualifiers, is crazy. I think Balk and Olympiakos have played 13 odd games now, 14 games. Mental.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable how many games that you have to play just to reach that point. But it's amazing for Greek football that these two have stayed in. And anything for me right now is a free hit as an Olympiakos fan. I don't know. If we reach the semis, amazing. That would be incredible. Let's see.
Yeah.
I'm so overjoyed with this performance,
I
and like I
think
said, congrats to
there's
Pauk as well.
something I'd like to highlight too.
Sure.
Is that like now unbiased? I really hope EPO or end the league, we will do something about it. Because physically, both teams don't have the depth to play all these games. And so I really hope that they will agree to postpone like two or four games depending on the schedule.
Well, this is the thing I was thinking about, Alain, because we've already postponed a match week because of the Ethniki, because of the playoffs. So
Yeah.
I don't know if it's possible. I agree with you, it should be, especially if we want like at least one Greek team to
Because
even have any chance of the final.
other countries are doing it.
But then that's the thing though, man, like because the Greek Cup final is so soon after the season finishes, I don't know. I don't know if they can afford to. I think it's the correct thing to do, but then I don't know it. That's going to depend on whether the Super League Council okays it, and they didn't last time when Olympiakos and Bauk got to the round of 16. So I don't know. I think they should, but I don't know if they will, and that could hamper both of us. And it's going to make it all that much tougher in our domestic season as well, because obviously AEK and Panathinaikos have the advantage of not having any other games. I know Panathinaikos have the Greek Cup final, but that's after the season ends. So it's going to be tough for Bauk and Olympiakos, but we'll have to hope that an understanding can be arranged for certain games to be postponed. But I don't
Yeah,
know if it's going to happen.
because you know, I'm telling you that, for example, in France, like you know, Lille and Marseille are still in the in European Cup,
Yes.
and the league will say, okay, you play the. On Thursday, so you won't play on the on Sunday afternoon. That's a first step. And second, even with that, for example, I think it's in Belgium, but I'm not sure. I just think. They already they also postpone playoffs games.
Well, let's see if the Super League can do that too for Olympiakos and Bulk.
France is different. They don't postpone because it's they have no playoffs.
Yeah.
But in countries where they have playoffs, like Czech Republic or Belgium, I think they will do it. I think they will do it to preserve their teams.
I hope, well, like I said, I hope for the interest of Greek football, I hope that they do it, but I have a sneaking suspicion that they won't be so kind to us, Elaine. But let's quickly move on to the actual draw, because the draw has just happened about 50 minutes or so ago. So Olympiakos, sorry, I'll start with Bark. So Bark drew Club Brugge, and the first
Yeah.
leg will be played in Belgium. The second leg will be in Thessaloniki. Olympiakos drew Fenerbahce, so I've played them a couple seasons ago in the Europa League group stages. First leg will be at Karaiskakia, second leg will be in Istanbul or Konstantinopoli, depending on your preference there. And so with Bark, Elaine, you guys could potentially play, I think it was Lille or sorry, Bark could potentially play Victoria Pilsen or Fiorentina in the semi-finals.
Yeah.
Olympiakos could potentially play Aston Villa or Lille in the semi-final, in their semi-finals. So
Don't tell Nick, but I think Lille off topic, but I think Lille has really a shot against Aston
well, he'll probably be listening to this, so it's too late to not tell him now.
Villa.
But yeah, just going on the before we even think about the semi-finals, because we have to bloody get there first. Elaine asked you about this off air. You can say it off air, on air now. Thoughts on Bulk's draw with Club Brugge? Because personally, and this is no offense to any Club Brugge fans, one of my friends being a Club Brugge supporter, I think this is one of the more favorable draws that Bâle could have got. With you know, there are no easy draws at any point in the in these knockout stages, as we saw in the even in the round of 16 and even the playoffs as well. But I think this is a more favorable one for Bâle, and it's not out of the question that you guys could get progress past them, considering they're having not the best season in Belgium.
Yeah, that was my point. And I just had a look at their European results as well. And they didn't have the same the same run as we did.
So I mean, yeah, they didn't have a didn't have the toughest run, but they almost got knocked out by Mulder. They lost in the first leg against Mulder before coming back and winning that tie. And in the league, they're quite a way away from league leaders Union Saint-Gelois, who got knocked out last night.
That's what I meant, yes, because in Belgium league they are tied with Antwerp, and Genk and Mechelen are just behind with 5 and 6 points.
And so early doors, we've got a few weeks before this fix, before this time. How confident are you of Bâle progressing?
I would say if we play like yesterday, I'm definitely 100% we will do it. But if we play like against Paris or the first round against Zagreb, no. But honestly, I think it's 50-50, and that will really depend on the physical form.
So let's look at Olympiakos's tie. So Fenerbahce, we played them recently, a few years ago. As much as I'd like to remind people that Olympiakos went to the capital and won 3-0 away from home, one of our biggest away wins in our European history. It was a really good game. Then we took them to Gardeskagi in the second game in the group stages. We won 1-0 with a late goal. So our record against them in recent times has been decent. However, currently this season they are the highest scorers in the Turkish Super League. They're only 2 points behind league leaders Galatasaray. They've only lost one game in the league all season. They did lose to Union Saint-Gilloise last night 1-0 in at home. However, they went through 3-1 overall in the tie. That's why we're playing them. So yeah, it's a much tougher one than what Balk have, I would say. It's not the toughest. I would rather have got Fenerbahce than Fiorentina or Aston Villa at this point, maybe even Lille.
And
But yeah.
they're still they're head to head with Galatasaray for the title.
Yeah.
They're just 2 points apart with one loss each.
And they have good individual players, like Bonucci's there, Fred is there from Manchester United, Edin Dzeko's there. So good team overall on paper, but, and this is maybe me preempting, which I'm
Batshuayi
very bad
too.
at doing, but I'm
Batshuayi too. They have
Batshuayi,
Under.
yeah.
They have Under.
Dusan Tadic, Ryan Kent, decent
And they have Under who came back in Turkey from Marseille as
Szymanski as
well.
well, who was a yeah, he's a pretty good player. But despite that, I am quietly confident. I don't know why. Look, we could very easily do what we did against in the first leg against Maccabi Tel Aviv and get absolutely smashed by them. But look at that performance last night has really given me the confidence that if Mendilibar can get the team playing the way we did last night, we have the potential to beat anyone. And that's not a guarantee because we are so hot and cold, and there's still the psychological side of Olympiakos where if we get pummeled once, we're going to go down immediately. So we just have to be focused for this game. It will be very tough, but especially with the first leg at Gariska, doesn't guarantee anything considering we got smashed there by Maccabi Tel Aviv. I think it's not the worst. I don't think it's as impossible as some people may have made out already online. I'm quietly confident, but look, they're the favorites. They have the better team overall, but we are capable of going through. It's not a kind of David versus Goliath situation with Fenerbahce.
And just back to Pauk for the record. That's I forgot, but Bruges already lost 2 weeks. No, sorry, last week against Molde.
Yes. Yeah, they did. And before coming back and going through themselves. Yeah. So look, let's see. It's great for Greek football that we've got two teams in the quarterfinals, because when can we ever say that? And where we might not say that again for a long time, Alain, albeit we improve further for next season. But look, both teams have the potential of going through. That's I think we have to look at it as a glass half full kind of thing. And if at least one team make the semi-final, like you said, we have the potential to finish 14th in the coefficient, which is massive, and that gives us more European places for next season.
And I stand by my point. I want PAOK Olympiakos
In the
in
final.
final.
Well, it could potentially happen now, because we can't play each other in the semi-final. So if Balk played Olympiakos, see, I said to you, I don't want us to meet in the knockout stages, because I want both of them to try and get as far as possible without playing each other, because I feel like it's just going to be a bloodbath. But if I don't even know what would happen. I mean, I know we're fantasizing now, but if Balk played Olympiakos, obviously, because it's not in Greece, there aren't the same regulations where, away fans can't play. They can't do what they Ebor can't do what they did with the Greek Cup final, where there's no fans or just students or whatever. This is a UEFA matter. So I
This
don't even
is
know what would happen.
UEFA. So the so if I remember, because it happened in France, and it happened in Greece too. I remember when Marseille came to Thessaloniki. The only authority who could ban fans would be the Ministry of Interior.
So I mean, if both clubs get to the final, and being in Athens, that would be an incredible achievement for both. Let's see if it's possible. It'd be incredible if that was the case, but we have to get there first. And Villa are very much the favourite. So even if we got to the semi-finals of Drake
But
Villa.
I think that would be a really dumb move for them to do that, because if ever it happens, UEFA, FIFA, and even other sports federation will say no, we won't do another event in Greece.
No, and it's a shame. It would be a shame, because we've only just got the ability to have kind of finals of this magnitude back, because we haven't had one since the final of the Champions League, if I recall, 2007, I think, in Osaka. That was the last time that a major senior men's tournament has been hosted in Greece. So, or the final of a tournament. So it'd be nice for Greece to get them more consistently, but it's just dependent on if both Greek clubs behaved if they got to the final. I can't really say that they would. But I think that's everything, Alain, unless there's any lasting thoughts before we wrap up.
I'm a Paukara.
Perfect. Olympiakos. There we go. And
Here
so
we go.
here
And
we go.
just one last word. I think my friend again, my friend from French Greek football said that was the greatest night for European for Greek football, sorry, since Euro 2004. I think it's not far from the truth.
It's up there. I would definitely say it's up there, because we haven't had two Greek clubs get to that point in collectively in a very long time. And I know that there are obviously non-Olympiakos and Balk fans who won't be pleased that both clubs have progressed. But at the end of the day, if you want to see more of your Greek clubs in there, you're going to have to hope Olympiakos and Balk stay in the competition, because that's how we're going to get more European places. And that's what the Conference League is for. And I'm glad that people have started to wake up to that. It's not in Greece. I think a lot of Greek fans knew that with the Conference League early doors, but there's a lot of snobbery from
And
Europe's top
when you
five.
look when you look at the level of the of each teams, that definitely looks like a normal a normal UEFA Cup, like the UEFA Cup. I mean the old system, you remember. And when you look at Europa League this season, that could look like the classic Champions League from the 90s.
Yeah, for when champions of their leagues would qualify and
Exactly.
nothing else.
And where you could face Dinamo Bucharest, etc. And
Anyway.
with the reform of Champions League, that will basically kill football, but that's another discussion.
Yeah, we'll see what happens with Greek clubs in that in the new format when we get to it.
I think Europa League and the Conference League will be really more will be very much more interesting.
I think it
And
already is, even this season.
yeah, and th that's where we should focus, I guess. And if we have the chance to qualify for the Champions League, this is absolutely wonderful. But for me, it's not a priority because it looks like now with the reform it look like sorry it will definitely look like EuroLeague or NBA. So how to say that's
Well, it's their Super League. It's the Super
yeah
League.
that's
Well,
plastic football.
yep, they can have their Super League. We can have our actual European football. But we'll end it off
Yeah.
there.
Perfectly well said.
We'll end it off there. So thank you, Elaine, for joining me. Always nice to chat with you, especially with Balk doing so well in the Europe as
My
Olympiakos.
pleasure.
And thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed this emergency podcast. And we will be back, definitely. The next one will definitely be about the Ethnic Gear, because there's no more Greek club football. International break is upon us now. And so, yeah, keep following us. Keep recommending us to anyone who hasn't seen any of the pages yet on X, on Facebook, on Instagram. If you haven't followed us already, we'd really appreciate a follow, because we love doing what we do, whether that be blogs, posts about the latest updates in Greek football. And keep following the podcast. If someone hasn't, someone is interested in Greek football and doesn't know about the podcast, please recommend it to them. And if you haven't already, give us a 5-star review, because it will bump us up in the charts and get more people listening. And that's what we want. We want to kind of keep speaking about Greek football in English and getting people involved as much as we can. So thank you guys for listening, and we'll catch you next time.